Okay, so everybody suffers from just my one thing disease. And what this is they think, okay, if everybody did my cause, the whole world would be different. But these people are never willing to step outside the box and look at other issues and apply other people's just my one thing. I'm Shadow Rebel, and in this episode of Simplify Privacy, I'm going to give you numerous of examples of just my one thing disease so that it doesn't happen to you. The goal is not to fix the people I'm talking about. They're never going to change. I'm trying to improve your life. The first one is people who are in the free and open source movement. They're so popular with Linux, with the Fediverse, with these open source alternatives. They have their political mind in the gutter. They're all far left. They're all like trying to do socialism. What is the purpose of socialism is we're making the government more powerful. That's what the left is. It doesn't make sense to be doing privacy if you're also thinking that the government should be more powerful. Who are you hiding from if it's to make them better? I mostly interact with these people on Lemmy, which leads to my next point about Monero Town. My issue with the Monero community is that they're so reliant on Cloudflare services for almost everything. Get Monero.org on Cloudflare. Monero Town on Cloudflare. They're seeing the password. All this Monero stuff, Cake Wallet, Cloudflare. Cake Pay, Cloudflare. Dude, Cloudflare can man in the middle all these Monero transactions. Just them seeing the addresses, that's not a big deal. But if they literally put their address and pretend that that's the receiver, take that money, and then for a penny, forward it on to the real receiver, that is a big deal, because now they're seeing the outputs and the e-notes when combined in aggregate with all these other transactions could potentially give a window into Monero's activity. When you combine this with the fact that most of the KYC exchanges, such as Kraken, also are on Cloudflare, and then if people are using that same browser when they go to swap sites, for example, KYC Not Me is on Cloudflare, but then it lists other vendors that are on Amazon and Cloudflare. If you're using the same browser that's getting fingerprinted from the KYC exchange as you are then swapping it to Bitcoin, combined with these man-in-the-middle transactions could give some type of possible window. Now, Monero has an upgrade coming of full chain membership proofs that are going to massively hinder the surveillance that I just talked about. So the point is not that Monero's flawed, but instead is to take a step back and go, okay, the Monero community has a serious case of just my one thing disease, where if everybody just used Monero, then we'd have this utopian privacy paradise, and we can completely ignore that Cloudflare is seeing our passwords when we communicate with each other on these forums, to Cloudflare serving us the binaries for our wallets. But is the Monero community the only one? Hell no. All of these political influencers really are missing out on the boat. You know, people like Tom Woods, they're over and over going about how, oh, the government is so bad that they're censoring Twitter. Oh, the government, they're doing the censorship on all the big tech. But is he on Noster? No. Why is he not on Noster? It's exactly what he prescribes to believe in. But he's just got my one thing. If everybody voted libertarian, we'd be better off. But are the Noster people better? Hell no. You know, the most popular Noster client was Damus for a while. Apple is able to access all data on their devices. No privacy at all for your private key. You're going to be, oh, I gotta own my identity. Oh, I gotta own my Bitcoin. But meanwhile, all these people were on their phones, and the phone is leaking all your shit to the government. You have no idea what it's doing. It's closed source. It's nonsense, dude. But the larger issue with Noster is that it's dominated by Bitcoin maxis who push this Bitcoin only thing. And the thing is, Bitcoin cannot do these offline micro Lightning payments. So in order to solve this, they use custodial Lightning, which is essentially a bank account where somebody else owns your Bitcoin and they're moving it in their books. But really, the whole purpose of Nostr is that you own your identity with self-custody. What is the purpose of that if you don't own your funds? In other words, what good is your word if you don't have the ability to control if you can pay or not? And people always talk about the censorship resistance of Nostr, but the actual use of it is just repeating what the mainstream media is saying about Bitcoin. What is the value in being able to resist the empire if you're repeating what BlackRock's CEO is saying? These people are all... Dude, I wish the political people would go on Nostr. You know, people like Dave Smith, right? They're always these libertarians. They're going on and on about how the government is evil and they shouldn't be doing taxes. Okay, I agree, sure. But then he's shilling Proton, VPN, Proton Docs, Proton Mail as his sponsor for Dave Smith's podcast. Okay, fine. But then if you look at his booking, he's having you write his booking person on a Gmail. You know, the whole reason people pay taxes is because they can't hide it. Because you send your resume in to anybody on LinkedIn, to anybody on these job boards, and all these companies are using Gmail. So when you have you can't say, oh, I have no experience. So you have to make up some experience. And so it's really Google that's doxing you, that's seeing the resume, that you have to report income, even if it's crypto income. So people like Dave Smith, they're shilling Proton on their podcast, but they're doing Gmail for their real life shit, for their bookings. And because they're doing that, they're enabling the IRS to be having their fingers up your rectum. How do you not see this? Now, Dave Smith is actually not the most egregious case of Gmail. That goes to Max Blumenthal of The Gray Zone. If you don't know who this guy is, he's literally traveling to the Gaza Strip to criticize Israel and Mossad and the CIA. The thing is, though, if you do a DNS lookup on his site, he's literally pointing his domain to Google, to Gmail. And so the contact form on his website most likely is flowing through Google. On top of that, there's all this Google JavaScript on the page. Doesn't he realize that some of his news sources, these interviews, these people might want some privacy or anonymity when they're reaching out to him as a controversial journalist? Not to mention that Google itself is an Israeli military contractor. So they were helping do the AI to drone to death Palestinians, and this Google AI would decide which Palestinians would live or die. So as Max Blumenthal is doing this divest and sanction and boycott Israel, he's literally having his news sources write him in the blood of Palestinians. Now, other influencers, they get the idea. You know, James Corbett has been suspended from YouTube. He's always talking about these government conspiracy theories and everything's a conspiracy. And he discusses how 9/11 was an inside job. Now, again, I'm not attacking Corbett's political positions. I'm only talking about his technology decisions. So he posts his stuff on archive.org. And he wants to use this as some kind of censorship resistance and showing the historical record of all of his posts to not be manipulated. But I'm not sure if Corbett is aware that archive.org is sponsored by government grants. So if you look at their page, they got the Office of Digital Humanities, NEH.gov. They have the main person behind it is sitting on a board with the Library of Congress. So here it is, James Corbett is going, oh, everything is a government conspiracy. The CIA did 9/11. Meanwhile, he's keeping this online through the tears of the taxpayer. I mean, I would call him a dumb cunt, but from scrolling through this list of radical left funders, I don't want them to suspend my library card at the Library of Congress. Now, I wish that James Corbett would realize that the answer lies in Arweave. Arweave enables the uploader to do 100 years or more to keep this somewhat indefinitely through a system of encryption as identity, where the uploader controls domain names pointed to their content. Arweave acts as the better version of archive.org, enabling people to have freedom in an unfree time. Does Arweave have all the answers? No! The Arweave Foundation, they're on Discord support. You can only get support for Arweave on Discord. And at first, the devs made you beg on Discord to get an Arweave name through the blockchain when they were in testnet. Censorship resistance without privacy is just a permanent record of your thought crimes. If you're mouthing off about the government and you're on Arweave, the only thing that's protecting you is hiding who you are. Otherwise, it's just a permanent record you can't undo that's going around. How do they not see that Discord has no privacy? How do they not get it? Every one of these people, from the Linux users with the socialism, to the Monero with the Cloudflare, to the Tom Woods with the Noster, to the Noster people with Damas leaking their key, to Dave Smith with Gmail, to the IRS, to James Corbett not seeing that Arweave is the answer, that Noster is the answer, to the Arweave Foundation with Discord. Why do they not get it? Because it's just my one thing. They're focused on, I just have to get everybody to do my one thing. I don't have time for anything else. I don't care about anything else. Me, me, me. Selfish, my thing. Buy this. That's their routine. But I'm telling you, I dare you to fucking realize all these freedoms are interconnected. Your political freedom, your technological freedom, your privacy freedom, your whole life, that all these things are interconnected. No one man can learn everything, but when someone else is telling you just my one thing, you might wanna listen. I'm Shadow Rebel, and this is Simplify Privacy.